When the U.S. launched the war in Afghanistan, one group that suffered huge losses was a small guerrilla army from Uzbekistan. The Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan, or IMU, was fighting alongside the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. For several years, the IMU tried to overthrow secular regimes in Uzbekistan and other Central Asian republics. They depended on the Fergana Valley of Uzbekistan as a key recruiting ground. NPR's Ivan Watson traveled to the Fergana Valley, where he met two former members of the Uzbek militant group.
In a leafy park in the town of Khokhand, children play on the steps of a stone and blue-tiled palace that was built before the Russians conquered Central Asia. This is the Fergana Valley, a sprawling plain of cotton plantations and Soviet-style cities that is one of Central Asia's most densely populated territories. It's also long been a hotbed of opposition to the government in Tashkent. It's from here that scores of young men were recruited to join the Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan, or IMU, among them Alibek Khajaev. At the age of 20, he ran away from his home in Khokhand with his girlfriend to a place in neighboring Tajikistan where he was told he could earn some money. There, Khajaev says he was met by bearded Uzbek fighters who, he says, forced him to become a member of the IMU.
They took our money and passports, and they wouldn't let us go. They said if we tried to go back home to Uzbekistan, we would be shot.
Less than 2 hours' drive across the Fergana Valley from Khokhand, another former IMU fighter named Hasanboy Sultimov tells a similar story. Sultimov, a merchant, claims he was also tricked into joining the IMU after he traveled to Tajikistan on business. But the 28-year-old was quickly promoted and became the personal driver and bodyguard of the IMU's political leader, Tayyar Yuldashev.
Yuldashev told the fighters there was injustice in Uzbekistan and that we had to overthrow the president and create an Islamic government. But first, he wanted us to help the Taliban to take control of Afghanistan. He said we would build an Islamic caliphate that would rule the world.
In 2000, the fighters and their families traveled from Tajikistan to Taliban-controlled Afghanistan. Sultimov says when he got to Kabul, he encountered many other Islamist militants from around the world.
In Kabul, there were Chechens, Tajiks, Pakistanis, and Uyghur Muslims from China. All of these groups were working under the leadership of Al-Qaeda.
Though Sultimov still speaks highly of some in the IMU, he says he quickly grew disillusioned with Yuldashev, the leader he was supposed to protect.
Yuldashev loved power and used religion to try to win control of Uzbekistan. While the other fighters were hungry and poor, he lived extravagantly in a big house with parties, women, and television.
Sultimov says he secretly made contact with his family in Uzbekistan and later escaped the IMU to Iran, just days before the September 11th attacks and the ensuing U.S. campaign in Afghanistan. Alibek Khajaev, his wife and newborn son, weren't so lucky. When the U.S. began bombing Kabul, the young family fled towards the Pakistani border, where one night their column of pickup trucks was hit by American warplanes.
2 or 3 planes kept bombing us in the dark. It was terrifying. One bomb exploded 15 yards from us. It sprayed us with shrapnel and burned my shirt.
With help from Arab and Turkish Al-Qaeda commanders, Khajaev says he and his family eventually escaped to Pakistan. There, the young Uzbek settled in the port city of Karachi, where IMU members later showed him a list of 300 fighters who'd been killed in Afghanistan.
They were good guys, 20, 25, 30 years old. Many came from the Fergana Valley. They were all fighters, and they were all killed.
Both Khajaev and Sultimov were eventually amnestied by the Uzbek government and returned to their families' homes in the Fergana Valley. Khajaev is now unemployed, separated from his wife and children, and living at home with his mother, who thanks God for his safe return. Sultimov runs a cafe in a small village market next to the house where he lives with his wife and children. Since their return to Fergana, the two former militants met once and embraced. Both say they're lucky to be alive. Ivan Watson, NPR News.